It's a wonderful privilege to sing to the Lord. And I'm so privileged to have met some of you. I met John and Ron and Carl over there. And we are so grateful that you are willing to come and worship with us and learn the Word of God with us. So we thank God for you, and we hope that you know that God wants His very best for you. He wants His best for me and for you as well. So let's open our hearts to listen to what God has for us tonight. Well, God has a way of turning the tables on evil. The French philosopher Voltaire predicted that Christianity will be swept from existence within 100 years. Yet just 50 years after he died in 1779, the German Bible Society had occupied Voltaire's house and was using his printing press to produce stacks of Bible. Imagine that. Well, during World War II, which was fought from 1939 to 1945, Adolf Hitler erected a massive stone structure in Monte Carlo. It was to be a radio station from which to broadcast Nazi propaganda into North Africa. Well, today, from that very building, Transworld Radio beams the gospel of Christ's redeeming love all across Europe and Russia and North Africa. Could these ironies of history be whispers of the last word Christ will have at the end of the age? You see, a day is fast approaching when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So do you become discouraged when evil prospers and falsehood seems to triumph over the truth? Do you feel that you are being unjustly treated, even though you've forgiven the offender and tried to make things right? Does it grieve your heart to see the wicked prospering and being in good health, whilst the righteous are suffering? Well, leave it with Christ. Let the ironies of history and the Bible's words that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father remind you today that the God of history will have the final word. Amen. That God is the God of whom we just sang. How great is your name. Well, this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me from His word to deliver to you at this special hour in your life and my life. So please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is delighted and desirous to plant the seed of God's dependable and divine truth in order to change genuine born-again believers among us here today more into the blessed image of Jesus Christ, who is the defender and the deliverer of the church, and to convict unbelievers among us here today of their sin of unbelief confidently and compassionately, leading them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the redeemer and receiver of sinners. So, here in a nutshell is what we are going to talk about. So please, I want you to pay very close attention to what we are going to talk about today with an open heart and an open mind. And that is, Jesus Christ is exalted to the highest position in the universe and given the name which is above every name. Just as we just sung, name above all names. Jesus Christ is exalted to the highest place in the universe and given the name which is above every name. So this means that Jesus Christ will have the last word on the destiny of all people of all ages. He will have the last word. So folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, in the family and fellowship of God, the Bible is going to vividly and visually portray to us God the Father's joy and delight in raising Jesus Christ to the highest position in the entire universe. The Lord Jesus will be crowned by the Father and confessed as Lord by all created beings in all of his dominion. So please, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Will you please listen carefully as I recite the Word of God from the updated New American Standard Bible? You may be using a different version, but I'm using the updated New American Standard Bible. The Bible says, "For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus Christ, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord." Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God to the people of God, and may the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. Well, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 11, I'm not going to speak on all of that because of our time limitation, contains some of the most profound and powerful teachings on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of the Bible. There is none like it. It tells us that Jesus is actually God in the truest sense of the word. It tells us of Jesus taking upon himself something he had never had before. And what is that? Humanity. It tells us of his humility. There was no death to which he will not stoop to save our guilty souls, making Jesus Christ the supreme example of humility. You want to know who is humble? Look to Jesus Christ. It tells us of his wholehearted obedience to the Father's will, making him the supreme example of wholehearted obedience to the Father. It also tells us of the selfless sacrifice of himself. That is, his dying on a cruel Roman cross to pay our sin debt in full, to bear the penalty and the punishment we deserve for our sins, making Jesus then the supreme example of selfless service, suffering, and sacrifice. If you want to talk about suffering, you begin with Jesus Christ. If you want to talk about true service, you begin with Jesus Christ. It also tells us of how God the Father honored him above all, which was the theme of our song today, and which will be the theme of our study today. So this is what I'll focus on in our time of learning from the Word of God. That is how God the Father honor Jesus Christ. So please, if you are ready, let's allow the Holy Spirit to impress upon our hearts the spiritual and practical lessons he's eager to teach us today. I'm just a vessel of the Holy Spirit. I'm not the teacher. He's teaching through me. So first of all, please notice the preeminence of Jesus Christ is convincingly stated in verse 9. Of Philippians chapter 2, in that book written by Paul in prison. What a verse this Philippians chapter 2 verse 9 is. Please, if you are a genuine born again believer in Jesus Christ and you haven't already memorized this verse, I will humbly ask you to memorize it. In addition to verse 10 and 11. Because if you have those three verses in your heart, it focuses you on Jesus Christ and it helps you to see his work and his worth as the God-man that saved us. Verse 9 says, "For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name." Now, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12, it says, "Humility comes before honor." In other words, it says, humility goes before honor. This is so true in the life of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. His honor came after what? His life of humility here on planet Earth. God didn't honor him without him humbling himself. You see, because Jesus willingly humbled himself to the lowest depth of shame and suffering, God the Father was highly pleased, greatly delighted to raise Jesus Christ to the highest position in the entire universe. That is why the Bible says, "For this reason," or "therefore." That is how verse 9 begins. It is teaching us that Jesus' humbling of himself became the grounds of what? His exaltation. He humbled himself, he was exalted. By humbling himself on the cross, out of love for you and for me, Jesus demonstrated that he truly shared the divine nature of God. And what is that divine nature of God? The Bible says God is what? Love. By doing that sacrifice on the cross. Now please notice that the Bible speaks of the preeminence of Jesus Christ in two specific ways. The preeminence means Jesus' prominence or his supremacy. First, the Bible says he is highly exalted by God the Father. Now, the word translated "highly exalted" is a rich and rare word. It's rare because this is the only place in the New Testament this word "highly exalted," the Greek word translated "highly exalted," is used. This is the only place. And it is rich because it means to raise someone to the highest position. To raise someone to the loftiest height. Or to super exalt someone. It is also translated, for those of you using the NIV, "exalted to the highest place." May I say to us today, God the Father raised Jesus Christ to the loftiest height in the entire universe. His desire, supreme desire in the universe today, is that Jesus Christ be honored in the universe which he created, and that he be honored on the earth where you and I live today, where also man has rebelled against God. Actually, Jesus' exaltation to the highest place in the entire universe, it's not something just happened out of the blue. It happened according to prophetic word. In Isaiah chapter, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13, speaking of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted." So this prophetic word was fulfilled over 700 years after it was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. So please notice that in both Isaiah chapter 52 and 13 and Philippians chapter 2 verse 9, the Bible makes it clear, I don't want you to miss this point, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus did not honor himself. So please don't miss that point. We live in a world that people like to honor themselves. People like to promote themselves. But that was not the case with Jesus Christ. He did not promote himself. He did not honor himself. The Bible tells us God the Father who willingly honored Jesus Christ by exalting him to the loftiest height in the universe. If Jesus, the Savior of sinners, humbled himself, the Bible says God the Father also highly exalted him. How precious. Indeed, there's an important lesson for the Philippian believers to whom Paul wrote that letter to in the first place, and of course for us today. And what is that lesson? The lesson is this. Please listen carefully now. The way up is down. The way up is down. Let's all say it together. The way up is down. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time or in proper time. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 6. That's the way it was in the life of Jesus Christ. And that's the way God has purposed it to be in your life and my life as believers in Jesus Christ. God will never reverse it. So please take careful note of this. To the degree you are willing to humble yourself before Almighty God, to that same degree, he will exalt you. To put it simply, the lower you humble yourself, the higher God Almighty will lift you up. That is the lesson God doesn't want us to miss. Now someone says, what exactly is involved in the exaltation of Jesus Christ to the loftiest height in the entire universe? Well, I'm so glad you've asked. Four things are involved in Jesus' exaltation to the highest position in the entire universe. Now, when we talk about the highest position here, we think of someone who is elected to the White House. That is the highest position. But may I say to you, that position pales in comparison to the position that God Almighty lifted up Jesus Christ. Well, first of all, this exaltation of Jesus involves his resurrection from the dead on the third day. I tell you folks, when God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, he was confidently and convincingly announcing to all beings, that is both angelic beings and human beings and all other creations, that he is exalting Jesus Christ. Second, it involves his ascension into heaven. In other words, God didn't just raise Jesus Christ and leave him on earth to be among us. He lifted him high into heaven. And then third, it involves his coronation, that is, his being welcomed back to God the Father's right hand, which is a position of authority and power and dignity. In other words, he was welcomed to the rightful position at the right hand of the majesty on high, where Jesus now lives, interceding for you and me as believers in Jesus Christ on the right hand of God. God didn't tell Jesus, sorry, son, when you went to earth, you lost your position at my right hand. Someone else had taken that position. God didn't say that because he welcomed him back to that position. While first, Jesus' exaltation to the highest place involves his glorification. In other words, he received back his glory that he had with the Father before the world was. To sum up, Jesus' exaltation involves the restoration of all that he had laid aside and much more besides. That is how God exalted Jesus Christ. Now, it is important for us here to understand that the exaltation of Jesus Christ did not concern his nature, but his new identity as the God-man. You ask, what do you mean by that? Well, you see, when Jesus left the throne of heaven to come to earth, how did he live? He left the throne of God, as God, fully God. But when he returned to the throne of heaven, he came as the God-man. Fully God and fully man. So God the Father was pleased to raise the God-man Jesus to the loftiest height in the entire universe because he humbled himself and obeyed the Father even when it meant suffering, the most shameful death on your behalf, a death that was reserved for the most hardened criminals, murderers, and robbers. Well, the second truth the Bible presents to us about the preeminence of Jesus Christ is that God the Father willingly and lovingly gave or granted or bestowed on him as a gift the name which is above every name. Someone asks, what exactly is that name? Is that name Jesus or some other name? Well, I'm so glad you've asked again. Well, if we follow the chronological pattern clearly shown in this passage from verse 6, it says Jesus was in the form of God. And then he took on human flesh. And then he humbled himself. The Bible is giving us a chronological order of what he did. If we follow that order, chronological order in this passage, we learn that the giving of the name must have come after the cross. So this therefore rules out the identity of the name in view as being Jesus. Why? Because the name Jesus was given to him when? At birth, exactly, before the cross. So please listen, Christ's new name, which further describes his essential nature and places him above and beyond all comparison, is Lord, which is equivalent to Yahweh, and some people say Jehovah. And we'll see verse 11 will make that clear to us. You see, one of the common biblical ideas is the giving of a new name to mark a new stage in a person's life. Remember, Abraham was Abraham. But at some point, his name became what?
Abraham.
A change in his identity. It marks a new status in Abraham's life when God gave him the promise. So Jesus is also given a new name to mark a new stage in his life as the God-man. And that name is the Lord. Well, having vividly depicted the preeminence of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit now brings us to another high point in our gospel story. And that is visually describing for us the reason behind all of it. That is the divine purpose for Jesus' preeminence is now clearly set forth before us in verses 10 to 11. The Bible now reveals to us in no uncertain terms God the Father's purpose for the super exaltation of his Son Jesus Christ. My friend, remember this. If you walk up out of this place, remember this. God is a God of purpose. He does everything for a purpose. You are here for a purpose today. It's not by chance you are here. God has a purpose to accomplish in your life. God has a purpose to accomplish in my life. So the question is now is, what is his purpose for raising Jesus to the highest place in the entire universe and bestowing on him the name which is above every name? Well, God's purpose is that all beings might bow in acknowledgement of the name that belongs to Jesus Christ and confess that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord. In other words, God's reason for giving preeminence to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is to secure him universal worship. We are going to see that in a moment. So may I say to us today, the powerful archangel Michael was not given this status or privilege. The prophet Moses was not given this honor or favor. The priest Aaron was not given such a privilege. And the preacher Paul was not given such an honor. No one in the entire universe is given such a privilege but Jesus Christ alone. I tell you folks, the Bible will show us afresh that the crowning moment of all history is centered on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will be at the center stage when God brings human history to an end, exactly as he has predicted. That is why the Bible says in verses 10 to 11a, it says, so that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now verse 10 literally begins in order that, introducing to us the divine purpose. And it's a twofold divine purpose. First is the bowing of every knee. Every one of us here one day will bow our knee to Jesus Christ. So the Bible is saying, because of what the name Lord represents, a time is coming when every knee shall bow before the Lord Jesus in recognition of his sovereignty. So the question is, who are the people bowing their knees? Well, the Bible makes it clear, all beings in the universe. I tell you, friends, this universal bowing of the knee will include angels and departed spirits, or the spirits of the redeemed believers in heaven. But that's not all. People still living on earth, that is, obedient believers and the disobedient rebels on earth, will also be bowing their knees before the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not all. Satanic hosts, that is the devil and his demons and lost humanity in hell, will also be bowing their knees before the resurrected, the ascended, the glorified, and the exalted person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now someone says, does the universal bowing of all these personal created beings mean they will all be saved at last? Does this mean that the devil, the antichrist, the false prophet, and those who die without believing in the person of the Lord Jesus will all be walking on the streets of gold in heaven?
No.
Thank you, my brother. Please listen. You've given the answer already. The Bible is not teaching that ultimately everybody will be saved here. It is simply teaching what? Submission of all personal beings to Jesus Christ by bending or bowing their knees before Jesus Christ. So it's not about salvation, but about submission. You see, those who do not willingly bow their knee to Jesus now, listen carefully, will one day be compelled to do so. And I tell you folks, their knees will not only bend, but buckle in great dread before the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who believe in Jesus Christ, But those who belong to Jesus Christ, but those who are bought with the precious blood of Christ, those who are brought out of darkness into his marvelous light, and most importantly, those who are born again by the Spirit, these, listen carefully, will bow their knees in great delight, in awe, in adoration to Jesus Christ as they behold the person whom God has raised to the highest position in the universe. So the question is, which group will you be part of on that day? Will you be among those whose knees bend but buckle in great dread of the glorious person of Jesus Christ? Or will you be among those who bow their knees in great delight, in awe, in adoration of the majestic person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Please don't take these questions lightly. Make sure you have an answer for that question. Well, the second element of the twofold purpose is the confessing of Jesus Christ as Lord. The Bible says every tongue will confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord. Can we say that? Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you. Well, the word confess also means to acknowledge, to affirm, to admit, and to agree together with God, or to reason or speak intelligently. So the Bible is teaching us that a day is coming when the Lord Jesus will receive universal affirmation and acknowledgement of his lordship. Please don't make the mistake of thinking that the word confess in verse 11 is talking about confession of sins. You see, the time of confession for sins will have come and gone. It will have passed. The Bible is simply teaching here that someday, soon or late, every living creature in all the universe, in heaven, here on earth, and in hell, will acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ. Those who are savingly related to Jesus Christ will do so willingly, joyfully, with great delight and triumphant faith in him. But those who have denied his claims will do so unwillingly and painfully, with great dread and trepidation. They will admit on that day that they have played the fool, that they have greatly erred, and that Jesus of Nazareth is indeed the Lord of glory. So what is the ultimate goal of all this? Well, the answer is the praise of God the Father. Remember, our gospel story begins with God. It says, God highly exalted him, and now it ends with God. That is why the Bible says, to God, to the glory of God the Father. It begins with God and ends with God. So please make no mistake about this. The day will come when every creature in all the universe will call Jesus Lord. But they will do so to the glory of God the Father. You see, the submission of all to Jesus and the universal acknowledgement of his lordship will bring glory to God the Father. Jesus, friends, draws men to himself that he may draw them to God the Father. That is his goal for you and for me. So what difference does this message make in your life and my life today? Well, if you are already a genuine born-again believer in Jesus Christ, this is the difference this message is given to make in your life. First of all, rely on your Holy Spirit, even today, to humble yourself before Jesus by telling Jesus anew. I did this myself. I had to do what I'm telling you myself. I'm not telling you something I've not done. From the bottom of your heart today, you humble yourself and tell Jesus, Lord Jesus, you are the Lord of my life, the master and owner of my life. Please take control of my life and make it what you want it to be and not what I want it to be for your glory. If you are able to humble yourself genuinely before Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, you'll be on the way of being what? Lifted up. If you can tell Jesus today, as a believer in Jesus, I'm giving my life to you again, and I want you to do what you want to do with it for your glory. That is humility that will bring a big, big smile on the face of God. And He will be working to lift you up to where He wants to lift you up. Well, second, rely on the Holy Spirit to hold on tightly to the teaching that the way up is down. And avoid all attempts to promote yourself. I know that we try to promote ourselves no matter where we are in life. So that is a problem. But we must learn from our teaching today that the way up is down, so that God Himself will be the one lifting us up, not ourselves. And then remember today that help is available in Jesus for you today to deal with whatever challenges, crisis, and struggles you are facing. So please, as a believer in Jesus Christ, don't leave here today without seeking Jesus' help in prayer. That is why we are here. We want to join and seek the help of Jesus in your situation so that God will be working on your behalf for His glory and for His honor. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, please be reminded today that there is a day coming when you will bow your knees and confess Jesus as Lord. But you will do so in great dread and despair of soul. But all that can change for you today, because God in His love for you is giving you a wonderful golden opportunity today for something far better. So please, I urge you today also to humble yourself and accept God's offer of love and forgiveness for all your sins. You see, sometimes we become proud that we can't even receive the gift God is giving us. But today, if you humble yourself and ask God to give you this gift of forgiveness, of salvation, on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross, where He died for your sins, and where He also was buried to put away your sins, and then rose from the dead on the third day, the Bible says you will be saved. All you have to do is to believe that promise and accept that promise. So the ball is now in your court to respond to what God has spoken to you. If you are already a believer in Jesus Christ and you want to take a step further toward walking humbly before Christ, you come up here, we'll pray for you. And whatever challenges you are facing, I know that many of you have difficult situations in your life. We want to pray with you and see God work on your behalf. That is why we are here. That is our purpose. So please come forward and we will pray for you today. Yes. Now, if you are not a believer, you come here and I will pray with you to receive that free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ.